Boy, I'll tell you what. You know why the NFL is king? Yesterday, and I, you know, prisoner of the moment, all that stuff. I thought yesterday was the best NFL football day I can remember.
Maybe ever. If you think about the morning games, you had the Steelers who were left for dead come back and win at the end of overtime.
Yep.
Then you add the Rams-Niners game, which for my money was one of the best games I've seen all season. And then you had Raiders-Chargers, which was even better than the Rams-Niners game, and I didn't think that was possible. It was 9 hours of suspense, drama. It was unbelievable. I have so many questions. We had so much to talk about. Let's start. You were at the Ram game.
Can we start there? How many people came up to you to see your eyebrow?
Who cares?
Amazing. That was in the open.
Later. First of all, Mace, are you up? Are you down? Are you mad? Are you they're division champs, but they lost? I mean, where's your head?
About this game, and I'm going to try to be. The Rams choked. At one point, I said to you, if there was such a thing as a choke emoji, I would be sending it to everybody right now. It was a major choke job. I thought the Niners were, unfortunately, George Kittle was right. The Niners were more physical. We could not run the ball, just could not run the ball at all. Our tackling was just atrocious. Stafford, the interception at the end of the game. I've seen him do this now three times, where he sees Odell Beckham Jr. in triple coverage or double coverage in the case of yesterday and tries to heave the ball there anywhere. A terrible decision on that last play of the game trying to play hero ball. At the same time, I felt like I was glad that Seattle won. I'm glad we won the division. I'm glad we get a home playoff game, all that stuff. It was a little bit like, John, the USC-Texas game years ago.
You walked out and you went, man, my team lost, but that was an unbelievable game.
Yeah, where at some point I just said, boy, that was a great game. Some Niner fans and I were talking during the game and, you know, I congratulated them at the end of it. It wasn't like mean, angry sort of environment. It was a fun environment. And Morales nailed it. It was about 50-50 Niners, a lot of Rams fans.
Which surprises me that the Niner fans were able to get their hands on 50% of the tickets, but it made for a great, like, back and forth. On TV, it looked like a college game.
Oh, it was great. The back and forth was fantastic. But I mean, you could hear Matthew Stafford when there was one point where he was hearing Beat L.A. while he was under center. There was one point, you know, where Jimmy G is getting completely drowned out. I mean, it was really a fun game. It was not the way I wanted it to go. It really was. To blow a 17-0 lead is an absolute disaster. Although, I did say to Juan, after they kicked that field goal at the end of the first half, I said, watch, they get the ball first in the second half, they score, it's a one-touchdown game, it's a brand-new ball game. I had a bad feeling about it from the point where they kicked the field goal at the end of the first half.
All right, let me jump on something before either one of you guys get a chance to jump on it. I haven't even looked at the point spreads. Mm-hmm. Give me 10 grand on the Niners over Dallas, no matter what the spread is. I think that 49ers team.
God, I hope you're right.
I think that and this will be a thing.
I'm rooting for him like crazy.
I think that 49ers team with Jimmy G, and I think Deebo Samuel has become the toughest cover in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think that with those two guys and with that physical defense, they are going to shock Dallas.
Yeah,
I think
it's only a 3-point line, John. So you're San Francisco plus 3.
Okay, I'll take it. And
I'm rooting like crazy, by the way. You know why I'm rooting for San Francisco?
Because then you get another home game if the Rams win.
No, we don't get another home game, but we go to Tampa instead of Green Bay. We have a road game at Tampa instead of Green Bay because Tampa will unless Tampa were to lose to Philadelphia also.
Wait a minute. Did the Rams and Tampa finish with identical records?
No, Tampa's a game
better. Oh, because I was going to say the Rams beat Tampa. I wouldn't be afraid to go down there.
Tampa's a game better. They finished 13-4. We finished 12-5. So I would much rather go to Tampa than to Green Bay. So I'm rooting for the 49ers to beat Dallas this week.
Well, how many times have you said in sports that we talk about it in boxing, we talk about it in the NFL, it's a game of matchups.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the Niners have the Rams' number.
No
so
question.
It's good. They beat them 6 times in a row. Jimmy G has been the quarterback all 6 times.
And amazingly, John, you know, I was talking to Not Stepdad Leo has been a San Francisco fan. He's lived in L.A. for like 65 years now, but he grew up in San Francisco as a San Francisco fan. And he thinks, and a lot of Niners, if you read all the Niners stuff, Jimmy G is probably not going to be the quarterback next year.
Which, if that's true, if they
they're
let him,
probably moving on from
if they let him go, and I've heard that too, if they let him go, he's going straight to Cleveland. And he's going to be the quarterback of the Browns, or he's going straight to Chicago,
or
and
Denver,
wait. Right? And he'll be a. I mean, he's just a good big game quarterback.
Yeah, he's a very good quarterback. He's never going to be an elite quarterback, but he's a very good quarterback.
Right, and he's good in high leverage situations. And Matthew Stafford, yep, frankly, isn't yet. He hasn't shown that he can do that. And that's going to be the test of the Rams. In these playoffs, is can Stafford avoid those interceptions you were talking about earlier? Because he had two more of them yesterday.
Yeah, and the second one, I mean, all you needed was to nickel-dime your way down the field.
Like he did against Baltimore.
Yeah, right. Instead of throwing a hero ball pass to OBJ, forcing it into double coverage. And that was exclusively a Matthew Stafford decision, and the wrong one. The wrong one.
Right. And the Rams defense was very porous, especially when Jimmy G took him 88 yards in five plays at the end of the game. That was almost way too easy. Jalen Ramsey, I don't know if you could tell because you were at the game. Jalen Ramsey came very close to getting his hand on the longest pass of that drive. And he just, you know, Ramsey come up with a great interception early. It was just an unbelievable game.
And by the way, let me just, here's my criticism of McVay. You've got the lead. You're in the fourth quarter. Time is winding down.
Oh, the three runs. Yeah.
You run the ball three times in a row and say, all right, San Francisco, beat it. Why not be aggressive? Try to get a first down there. If you get a first down, you win the game. Why would you kick the ball back to them? I don't understand.
I heard
Kirk Morrison argue like crazy in favor of it yesterday. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, here's why. On the previous series, the Ram defense had stopped the Niners. So maybe McVay thought, okay, they ran all over us for a quarter and a half, but on the last set of downs, we stopped them and forced them to punt. If they can go 90 yards on our defense and not kick a field goal, score a touchdown, then more power to them, and they did it.
I said it in the moment, still would have tried to get the first down no matter what. One first down, and you win the game.
Right. I don't blame you. And it becomes a hard decision whether or not to throw because the Niners had no timeout. So do you want to hand them a clock stoppage if Stafford throws an incomplete pass? And so much of it is what Stafford shows up. I think I sent you a text in the first half that at one point he was 13 out of 14, which made him 27 out of his last 28.
Yeah, he came out of the box hot yesterday.
And then he just reverted to bad Stafford and threw those two awful interceptions.
Yep.
And threw some sidearm ground balls to some people. The touchdown to Cooper Kupp was unbelievable. It was just, Mace, that's the best game that's ever been played at SoFi Stadium.
No question. And I've not been to all the Chargers. Maybe there was a good Chargers game. I don't know.
Not
but that's
that
the best game I've seen at SoFi Stadium for sure. And in the young history of SoFi Stadium, the best game I've seen.
And I don't hate that they drew the Cardinals. I mean, they just beat them in Arizona. Of course,
yeah, no,
I'll
take that draw.
When they played earlier in the year, Arizona kind of dropped the hammer on them at SoFi. But the Cardinals are a different team now. They haven't been winning. Seattle kind of ran all over them yesterday. So I think the Rams get out of the first round. And
who knows?
I think Dallas is out. I think they ran into the team nobody wants to play.
That's good. Then we go to Tampa where we beat them before.
2 years in a row.
Yeah.
But they've got to shore some things up. I thought that, you know, you played that quote last week on Friday that George Kittle said, it's going to become a physical body bag game. And the Niners just dropped, I mean, out physical. And they ran times in a row in the opening series of the third quarter.
And just terrible. Elijah Mitchell, terrible tackling in that game. I don't know what went on. I mean, he would hit the line and then just squirt through for five more yards. They just couldn't tackle yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
And that's what they did to him, by the way. The second half of yesterday's game looked exactly like the whole first time they played.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable game. And right when, I mean, all three of us, four of us, because Jorge was on there, we were all texting, and it looked like the Niners had pretty much taken over the game. And Stafford leads them all the way down the field and throws a touchdown to Cooper Kupp. and with 5 minutes left, you thought, okay, the Rams got it. You know, they've figured it out. They've got it. You know, they're up 24-17, and then nothing. And it was just such a hard game to lose. And it was just a small piece of this puzzle. All right, so Greg brought it up. Did anyone seek you out to see your one eyebrow?
Yes, it did happen multiple times. There was a gang of guys, maybe 5-6 guys beforehand as I was walking in. Although I will be honest, I was kind of in disguise a little bit. I wore a ball cap real low. I wore glasses, so I was kind of hiding
glasses,
it a little bit.
You can't see the eyebrow, yeah.
Correct. Now, what's encouraging about the eyebrow is it's a little bit like a beard. Like, I've already got stubble there. I don't feel like I'm going to be eyebrow-free for very long. But people clearly entertained by the bit, and lots of congratulations for at least following through on my bet.
Yeah, but you kind of blew it.
How?
You were supposed to go to SoFi Stadium and let people see your eyebrow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
that was the
yeah.
whole idea, was for people to be able
well,
to see
wait a minute, Greg.
It.
It's not like he grew it back overnight. He's, you know.
It's
next
still
time
there.
Next time he goes to a Laker game, I mean, people will see it.
Laker game? He's not going to a Laker game.
By the way, yesterday, never took my mask off, even to eat or drink.
Okay, what about everybody else, though?
Everybody else had their mask off.
On or off?
Off.
Yeah, it looked like it.
Yeah,
I didn't see a lot of masks.
Virtually no mask compliance. And, I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. They keep putting announcements on the screen, please keep your mask on. They say when you walk in. They did check for vaccinations and all that stuff. But, no, virtually no mask
compliance.
By the
way, which reminds me, we postponed the Mandy Awards. We made that announcement earlier today. So we'll mention it a couple times during the show. Greg, it's 710awards.net, right, for the latest details?
Yes,
right.
For the latest details. And if you have tickets already, they will transfer to when we do it again. If you do want a refund, you can go to 710awards.net for more information.
Yeah, right. And, you know what? We want this to be a cool night. We want this to be a cool event where we mix it up with listeners and all that stuff. And so, especially with the way COVID has spiked, we just felt like the best thing to do was to push it back. The date has not been named yet. You can still vote. If you do want a refund, you can go to 710awards.net, and they can figure that out for you. But I hope you keep your tickets, and I hope you come back for the Mandy Awards. You're still in on the Mandy Awards when we do reschedule, because it will be a cool night.
And Amanda worked the Laker game last night. They're working on finding a date fairly soon.
Good.
They're just waiting for the virus to kind of get better. And when it does, I think they're gonna get a new date up there pretty quick. So
I think it's getting better.
So
I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. I have no science background, but I'm hopeful and optimistic that we're going to work our way through this thing.
There's so much to get into. The Raider Charger game
was
one of the great games of all time. I mean, all time. People are killing Brandon Staley today. I don't know whether or not he deserves it. We'll get into that next.
Yep, and we'll also get your phone calls in, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. You want to talk about the Rams, you want to talk about Staley, you probably pretty much know the details on that. I want to talk about the Rams, whatever it is, 877-710-ESPN, Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, Ireland, biting poor Greg's head off.
Well, look, we're a sports show, and we just got done with the greatest day in football history, and Greg wants to open the show and spend 10 minutes on your eyebrow?
Don't be so chippy.
It wasn't 10
so
minutes.
Chippy.
That was just an important piece of information that happened at SoFi that
we got to it.
Yeah.
So you thought that was more important than the game?
No, I mean, I think we have time to get to the game. I think we have time to get to everything. It was in the open. We play off the opens.
We did get to the game and to the eyebrow.
Sure.
Yeah, we did. We covered both bases.
Yes.
So what is your complaint?
Okay, let's just all be friends and let's move on.
The Charger Raider game was I mean, they went for it six times on fourth down and made
it. Yeah, no, it's crazy. Herbert was unbelievable there.
He threw like 64 times. It was one of, I mean, Michaels and Collinsworth were in disbelief doing this game. And, Mace, the most unbelievable thing is I almost took half of your mythical money on a bet I thought I had zero chance to win.
Yeah.
I just threw it out there. Last week I threw it out there because they both make it if there's a tie. I thought, well, I think I asked you for 90-1 odds. You said no. I said, give me 50-1 odds. You said, there'll never be a tie. 50-1's fine. So I bet Mason, I owe you $1,000.
Yep.
Had that field goal not gone through, I would have taken half of your mythical money on January 10th.
Yeah, I know. That would have been a disaster. But after having such a bad mythical money year last year. So here's – go ahead and explain.
Well, here's what everybody's talking about today.
Yeah.
Most people think – and I'm not sure they're right, but they think the Raiders were going to be perfectly content running out the clock. And they were running the ball in the middle of the field. They had not. They weren't attempting any passes. They were running the ball. And the clock was running. And even after the game, Derek Carr and Rich, what is it, Biasacci?
You should learn that coach's name. He just got you into the playoffs.
Well, we might have to keep him now because it looks like Harbaugh's going to Miami. But the
no, actually, Stephen Ross came out and said, no, he's not taking him from Michigan.
You want to bet?
All right.
Here's the thing. Both the coach and Derek Carr said after the game that they were considering letting the clock run out. And when the Raiders called timeout, or the Chargers called timeout, they thought, huh, okay, we got enough time to run another play and then kick a field goal. You know, the Raiders never used any of their timeouts.
Right. Now, what I assume was going to happen was because the Raiders didn't want to go to Kansas City in the first round. And if, had they
tied,
they would have gone to Kansas City in the first round, which is basically just a slaughterhouse. So I thought what they were going to do was wait until the last – they were going to run that play. They were going to wait till the last moment. Daniel Carlson, career-long field goal was 56, and wherever they landed, they were going to attempt a field goal with like 2 seconds on the clock.
Right, and he might have made it anyway.
Yeah, because he's got a booming leg.
Staley, here's one of my issues with Staley. I think he's a great young coach, but he's go-for-it guy, all right?
Yeah, it's too much.
So he went for it fourth and two on his own 18.
Idiotic.
Early in the game.
Idiotic.
And here's the thing. All right, but Mace, if you're go for it guy, all right, that's you. You go for it.
Yep.
Then when you tied the game on the last play of the game to send the game to overtime, why didn't you go for it there?
Yeah.
You're go for it guy. Either you are or you're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I see there is a little bit of a distinction there. I mean, I can see the distinction because you know that you still know you've got a shot in a 10-minute overtime period.
Right, but I mean, you could have won the game.
Zero-sum game.
You just drove the length of the field. You've made it on fourth down 6 out of 6. And you're not going to go for it there when you've gone for it all year? All right, so okay, a tie gets you into the playoffs. So you kick the extra point for the tie. And you go
right
to overtime.
To go to overtime, right.
Explain to me why the Chargers stopped the clock.
In that last, at the very end
for
of
any
overtime?
Reason. Yeah, for any reason. The Chargers want the clock to run out. A tie gets, you've already kicked the extra point.
Right,
at the
well,
end of regulation.
I mean, so, what Staley has explained is that they had a defensive tackle or a linebacker who was having just a terrible game.
Yeah,
and
Murray.
He wanted to get him out of the game and change personnel before he knew Josh Jacobs was going to run that football. They were anticipating Josh Jacobs to run. He wanted to make a defensive change. That's at least according to Staley now.
Right.
That's why he says that's why he called the timeout there.
Yeah, but if you just let the clock run, maybe the Raiders run out of time. And they're not necessarily infatuated with winning. They know a tie gets them in. So I'm not sure if it's fair to blame Staley or not. Now,
I do blame him for going for it fourth and two at your own 18. That's just stupid.
So
that's just stupid. And I saw McVay, in fairness, I saw McVay do that from the 30 a couple of weeks back. Also stupid. Stupid. I mean, I understand, you know, analytics and all that stuff. Use your head. Use your head. You can't be that guy. You can't be that, let's use the word, frivolous with turning the ball over if you don't get yardage on fourth down. You can't just throw away points. And he threw away a field goal on that drive where he went for it on fourth and two.
Right. Here this morning, everybody's talking about this today because the Chargers are out and the Raiders are in.
Yep.
Here's Rex Ryan on Get Up this morning talking about Brandon Staley.
He thinks he's brilliant, okay? I think he's reckless. And when I see this guy, you know, here's the thing. Jay, well, this guy, he thinks he's better and smarter than any coach that's ever been on this planet. And all those coaches before him that would punt the ball backed up on fourth and one at your own 17, that every one of these guys from Belichick, Parcells, Lombardi, anybody known to man would punt that football. He's not going to do it because he's smarter. No, he is a guy that lacks experience. Here's a guy that coaches like he's a Division III football coach when nobody gives a rat's what happens on an outcome of a football game. That's who he is. And here's the bad thing. This dude has a generational talent, and we're not going to get to see him play in the playoffs for one reason, and that reason is Brandon Staley.
So yeah, he's a little too smart for the room.
Yeah, a lot of people coming down on him, and maybe he'll learn from it. But again, I want to know, if you're a go-for-it guy, either you're in or you're out. I mean, quit going for it when you get a wild hair, and then when you have a chance to win the game. Like, if he would have gone for it at the end of regulation and missed it,
I would have said that's lame. I would have said that's stupid.
I would think Charger fans would say, well, that's who he's been all year. He's been go-for-it guy. And if he makes it, he becomes legendary. But now you ended up losing the game anyway, and you're out because you didn't take the chance.
Okay, let's sneak in some phone calls. 877-710-ESPN, whatever. I mean, a lot of – actually, Lamb and Garden Grove is online. Hey, Lamb, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. I've been listening for a long time now. Big fan.
Thank you.
I just had a comment about the game. I know you went to the game, but – you know, watching from home, it seemed like there were way more 49er fans than Rams fans there. And I just wanted you to comment, first of all, what did it seem like to you while you were there? And did you see any kind of bad behavior? Because I think a lot of people were kind of hesitant, me being a 49er fan, of going to a visiting stadium in L.A. And, you know, I read some things online, and I was just wondering if, you know, you saw any of that or in the general sense of the 49ers.
Okay, Lamp, thank you. You know, for me, the stadium was about 50-50. It was definitely 50. It was definitely 50. Niner fans, I think, probably broke the visiting team record for drinking beer. There were, I mean, guys, some, you know, John, the guys that come down to the first row when their seats are open, and the seats out next to us were open. So two 49ers games, they would go and they'd get like six beers at a time. I'm like, where are these beers going? Are you really downing these things? But I thought, and I'm sure there's video out there of fights or whatever, but I thought the 49ers fans, at least the ones around me, did a great job of showing out, and I don't think there were gigantic fights, at least that I could see in the stadium. But that place was definitely 50% 49ers fans.
Hey, let's go to Solomon in Lake Balboa, who's a Charger fan. I wonder where Charger fans are today. Hey, Solomon, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, Solomon. No?
Not there? Okay. It would seem to me that I'd be incredibly disappointed if the Chargers didn't make it. They had so many chances, and wow, they have so much firepower on offense.
Yeah. Let's get Mark and Downey in. Mark, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Talking about the Ram game, you know, I know this is a big question as to why Matthew Stafford is good, why he's not good, et cetera. If you could just look at the play calling done by McVay, in the beginning, the first half, McVay did so great. He behaved. He stayed away from all pass. He mixed in run. Second half, I guarantee you, look at the opening plays. It was all pass. and it allows San Francisco to just bring everything against Stafford. Stafford can't handle that. McVay, in my opinion, he lost that game. His play calling is so predictable. If I can predict it, NFL coaches can very much predict it.
I actually disagree with you, Mark. I thought they tried to run the ball and couldn't. I mean, I'd have to look at the play breakdown, but every time they tried to run the ball, they couldn't run it.
They had like 2 yards rushing. I mean, they tried in that first half with both Cam Akers and Sony Michel. They tried like hell to run the football. But by the time you got to 17-17 ball game, I just felt like you had to abandon the run because you really weren't going to get anything on the ground. Right. That defensive front was so good against the run that really it was ride or die with Stafford.
And they scored enough points to win. What, they scored 27 points? I mean, that's enough to win. The defense just didn't stop the Niners in the second half. And again, I don't know. I'm trying to think of off the top of my head. Is there a better offensive weapon on any team in the league right now than Deebo Samuel?
Well, I mean, obviously Cooper Kupp.
No. Cooper Kupp can't run.
Cooper Kupp just won the Triple Crown.
Yeah, but Cooper Kupp can't run.
Led the league in reception,
Deebo
yardage,
Samuel
and
is being used as a running back. I mean, that's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were talking about that during the game, that they now use him as much as a running back as they do as a wide receiver. And yesterday, just to be freakish, he threw a touchdown pass. But, I mean, why does everybody
downgrade Cooper Kupp?
I'm not downgrading Cooper Kupp at all. I think he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. What I'm saying is, who's harder to cover than Deebo Samuel? You don't know what he's going to do. He runs half the time. He passes yesterday he threw a touchdown pass. He's great yards after the catch. I just think he's really hard to tackle. Cooper Kupp is really hard to cover, but Deebo Samuel is really hard to tackle. And I don't know if there's anybody, maybe Derrick Henry, but I don't know if there's anybody harder to tackle
well,
in the NFL.
I would just point out Deebo Samuel scored 6 touchdowns this year.
Right, but he was hurt.
Not a match. Played in 15 games. Played in all 16 games, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he had a lot of injuries, but the thing about Samuel yesterday was he was a weapon that the Rams had no answers for. I think
great player, but in terms of offensive skill position players, it's Cooper Kupp. I think we all.
Well, if you're asking me if Cooper Kupp is a better wide receiver than Deebo Samuel, the answer is obviously yes. If you're asking me who's harder to cover, Cooper Kupp. But if you're asking me who is a better weapon right now? Deebo Samuel is super fast, and he's hard to tackle. You watch. He's going to shred the Cowboys. They're not going to know what to do with him.
I hope so, because then we get to go to Tampa instead of going to Green Bay. I'd rather not go to Green Bay
until
NFC championship.
If the Rams take care of business, if they beat Arizona, I think the other side of the bracket's going to break right for them. But wait, I mean, how about all the weird stuff that happened? How about the Colts getting destroyed? Like we said, Jacksonville's never going to beat the Colts. They didn't just beat them. It was like not
hammered
even close.
Him.
Yeah, and then, you know, Pittsburgh wins in Baltimore in overtime. And then, can you imagine what it would have been like to be a Steeler fan yesterday?
Oh, my God, down to the wire.
Like, you think you're in, and the only way you're not in is if there's a tie, and then there's almost a tie.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Gigantic day in the NFL yesterday. Plus, we got Wheel of Questions coming up for you in about 10 minutes. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Eyebrow stubble is what I've got now, John. It's not going to be long. This thing is coming back. Promise you. Promise you. I was worried, but now I'm not. Let's go to Anthony in Lake Elsinore, day after just a monster day in the NFL. Anthony, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. It was a great day to watch the NFL. Unfortunately, we had to see the Rams lose, but yep, still in the playoffs, still NFC West champions.
Amen.
Basically, I didn't have an issue with them running the ball three times and then giving it back to the Niners. I had an issue with what the Rams did on defense on that last drive, which a lot of teams do at the end of the game on a last drive, and it absolutely drives me nuts. They abandon what they've been doing on defense the entire game, stuff that's been working, and they move back to a prevent defense. So, the drive before that, Von Miller got the sack. It ended the drive for the Niners. They looked great, but they didn't do that. They rushed three. They dropped everybody back, and Garoppolo just tore them up.
Well, remember, yeah, they had to score a touchdown. The Niners had to score a touchdown. So the idea of dropping and keeping everybody
eight guys back, yeah,
kind of in front of you is, I get it, but they just couldn't do it. They couldn't execute.
The weird thing about that drive was I kept waiting for them to, because they were out of timeouts, spike the ball. They just kept running up the field.
They only spiked it once the whole time.
Yeah, running up the field and throwing and throwing and throwing. I don't even know if those were called plays at some point. It was like schoolyard football at some point. And they found a way to do it. I still would have preferred, and I said it in the moment, get me a first down and win the game. Put the thing on ice.
Yeah. And boy, you wonder, the Rams' best plays are pass plays.
Yes.
And so to run it, they ran it three times and called the exact same play.
I don't even think they were trying to get yardage. I think they were just trying to
run clock.
To burn clock. Yeah.
I think you're probably right. Here's Dan in Inglewood. Hey, Dan, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
What's up, guys? What's up?
What's up, Dan?
I'm a little down today, all right?
Okay.
I'm a Raiders fan. I'm glad that
So why are you down?
I'm down because the San Diego, I don't want to call them Los Angeles Chargers. San Diego Chargers.
Okay.
Cost me $30,000. Okay.
How?
First of all, look, I'm a day trader and I bet sports for a living. That's all I do. All right. I had inside information, no further than that this game was supposed to be a tie game. Okay. I'm gonna give you two instances why. Okay. When the Chargers scored their last touchdown. Remember, they threw it into the end zone.
Right.
Raiders
end of regulation.
That's right. Raiders had two defenders there. Okay? That's the first thing. And the last thing is, I believe Raiders was planning to let this game just be a tie until San Diego makes a stupid call and call a timeout.
Yeah, a lot of people believe that, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dan, I don't know what your inside information is, but clearly not reliable. I felt like they were going to attempt a field goal no matter what because they had Daniel Carlson. They just wanted to make sure there was no time on the clock.
Yeah, he's a really
when they
good
kicked
kicker
the field
too.
Goal because by winning, they avoid Kansas City in the first round. So I do think they were scoreboard watching was happening. I know they always say we're not watching the score. I think everybody was watching the scoreboard yesterday.
Yeah, of course. And thanks, Dan.
Sorry you lost, Dan.
Here's Lewis in San Diego. Hey, Lewis, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, Mace. Hey, Ireland.
Hey.
Oh, so get this, man. I've been a Chargers fan all my life, and I'm just happy we're competitive. But gosh, last night, man, that was our game. If that wasn't it, I don't know what it was, man. It's just so much up and down, you know. It's just he goes for it, he doesn't go for it. It's like what is he? And then Chargers are shooting themselves in the foot with these penalties and it was just heartbreaking, and it was just a roller coaster. You know, I couldn't sleep, you know.
Yeah. Do you now? You're in San Diego. Do you come up to LA for the games?
I'm actually from Orange County. I commute to San Diego daily to work, but I'm very competitive, and
I think they have a good team. I think that, and you know, most of their stars on both offense and defense are young. Herbert's young, Derwin James is young, Bosa's young.
I'm completely unsold on Staley. Their defense is awful. He's supposed to be a defensive coordinator by trade. They were the worst team in the league against the run this year.
Wait a minute, wasn't he a quarterback in college?
Yeah, but he was defensive coordinator for the Rams.
Yeah, that's weird. That a guy who was a quarterback in college went to the other side of the ball.
I do think he acts like he's too smart for the room. I kind of agree with Rex Ryan. Too smart for the room. I think I know everybody. I think I know everything.
I mean, he didn't make the playoffs this year, but they didn't make him with Anthony Lynn last year. By the way, Anthony Lynn got fired again today. He was the offensive coordinator of the Lions. Boy, a lot of people got fired today. Did you see?
Yeah,
Brian
they're dropping
Flores.
Like,
what, do you get that?
Brian Flores actually had a pretty good year. They rallied
in
the second half.
Seven games in a row at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's a tough way to go out.
Yeah,
that's a tough way to go out.
He's 4-2 against Bill Belichick. So it must have been a butting
personality
heads with,
thing.
Or Stephen Ross thinks he's getting Harbaugh or somebody else.
Stephen Ross, I mean, the quotes, if you read those, they seem pretty airtight.
I heard him. I actually heard him when I listened to the
press still think,
conference.
Even though he says, I don't want to take Jim Harbaugh from Michigan, he's going to take Jim Harbaugh from Michigan?
All right, so let's put it this way. If Jim Harbaugh comes out and says, I'm going to the NFL, would Stephen Ross rather see him go to the Raiders or have him come coach his team?
By the way, credit to Jim Harbaugh. He's basically told his team that he's going to entertain offers.
Which coach is hard to ever do. Most of the time they just lie.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. At least be honest about it. I was surprised Flores. I think Flores will get another job maybe.
I'm trying to figure out where we'd get the head coaching job, though.
There's lots of gigs open.
Yeah, Minnesota's open now. Chicago's open now.
Denver's open now.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of gigs. All right, coming up next for you, more your calls, 877-710-ESPN. Plus, John has put all of the questions on the wheel today. We will spin the wheel of questions coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Okay, we're back to your calls here in a minute. It's time to spin the wheel of questions. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car just sitting around not doing anything, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes, Ireland. It's all your questions today.
All right,
Taylor,
spin it, Taylor.
Let's give it a spin.
Okay, this is for the rest of your life.
Okay, rest of my life.
Rest of your life. Would you rather have all traffic lights you approach be green so you would never get stopped at a traffic light for the rest of your life?
Okay.
Or never have to stand in line again?
Oh.
What do you think, Bergman?
I am never standing in line ever again in my life. That's the easy one. Easy.
Although you live in Los Angeles, where the traffic is brutal.
So used to it at this point, but I would much rather not stand in lines. Disneyland, Magic Mountain, Universal.
Oh, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, lines suck.
Lines do suck, but you can kind of control lines. In other words, I just don't stand in them.
Right, you will not stand in a line.
Ever. Like, I'll tell you a story. Today, my mom needed help with some stuff, so I drove down to Orange County this morning. I was really hungry when I woke up, so I stopped at a bagel place, and I looked in the window, and there was a line of about 6-7 people. I'm out. I'll just go hungry. Screw it. I'm not going to die. I got back in my car and drove to Orange County. I'm not waiting in a line. Now, if I would have had all green lights, I would have got there a lot faster. I hate lines, but I've learned how to manipulate them. I can't manipulate green lights, so I might do the lights.
What do you do if you're at Disneyland and you're waiting to get on Magic? You're waiting to get on Matterhorn, and it's an hour-long line, but you really want to go on it. What do you do?
Well, here's the thing, and you'll live this, Greg, if you haven't yet. Have you ever taken Riley to Disneyland?
Of course, hundreds of times.
So the problem is, it's not about me at that point. I have to wait in the line. So I just prepare. Like, Jack really wanted to go on the Cars ride at California Adventure. The line was 2 hours. I just said, okay, Jack, it's going to be 2 hours. He goes, I want to do it. And I went, okay. And I just, you know, when it's not about you, you can convince yourself to do it. But
then you can just go right through.
Forever. Mace, think about getting out of SoFi with all green lights.
I'm green lights forever. I don't have kids, and I don't go to Disneyland and Magic Mountain and Knott's Berry Farm and all those places. I have nothing against it. I mean, good if you've got kids. Those are great. But I don't find myself in lines that often. I mean, I guess I get in line at Starbucks every day, but it doesn't take that long.
Well, see, if I walk into Starbucks and there's more than five people, I'm out. See,
why wait in the drive-through line and listen to Travis and Sliwa?
I'll order ahead and go in and pick it up.
I know you do that. I can't quite figure out how to order ahead.
But
it seems complicated to me.
But Ireland, how often are you actually on like side streets? I'm on the freeway all the time. The freeway doesn't stop me from. There's no green lights or red lights on the freeway. That's where the traffic is. That's the problem.
Well, like,
so the roads mean nothing to me.
I know how to get everywhere without taking the freeway. Just because the freeways are so bad.
So how do you get downtown?
If I have to,
tell us your secrets.
No. If you absolutely have to, you basically get to Olympic and take it all the way downtown. Like Mason, from where you live.
Yep.
Get to Olympic, turn right, and take it all the way to Staples.
Olympic is an all-purpose street. Olympic and Venice are both like all-purpose streets going downtown.
So
they are really good.
I have to take Sepulveda all the way until I get to Olympic, and then take it all the way downtown. But, Greg, I would only do that if I tried to leave for Staples Center at, like, 3 in the afternoon, and I knew it was just going to be a pub crawl.
Right, you know? but most of the time you're on the freeway, or at least I'm on the freeway way more often than I am on side streets.
Yeah, I don't think you're crazy to never stand in line again. I just think that I've learned how to not stand in very many lines as it is. So, I mean, so it all kind of works out that way. By the way, I and we'll get back to some of your phone calls in a second. Did either one of you have a chance to watch any of the Laker game last night?
Some. I mean, the other game was more thrilling. I just saw the Lakers not playing defense, and I thought, screw it. We're old, they young. That's the way of the game. That was kind of my general read of the game. But Ja's unbelievable.
I'm now convinced that Ja Morant is the best highlight player in the NBA. Like, there is no one that is a human highlight film more than Morant. He had a play last night that was somewhat indescribable. I'll play how Michael and I called it. Taylor, do you have this, how we called this block last night?
Here is Ja Morant, stolen by Avery Bradley. Bradley on a breakaway, gets to the rim. Ja Morant leaped to the top of the glass and took it away with two hands. I've never seen a block like that. Morant coming the other way, can't finish. Rebound loose, knocked out of bounds. They're going to give it to Memphis. Michael, timeout on the floor. How would you describe that block by Morant?
Unhuman.
I mean,
I've never seen that.
Above the square. I bet you guys see this at home. Timeout.
Yeah, you'll see it on the highlights. And he sort of controlled it. He didn't like block it. He grabbed it like you go up for a rebound.
Like Bill Russell. Grizzlies 12, Lakers 9.
Block of the year.
6:42 remaining in the first half. This crowd still buzzing over that Ja Morant block on the ESPN LA Lakers radio network.
So, yeah, I watched the I did not see that live, but the video, that's just a crazy-ass play.
I've never seen anybody do it.
No.
Number one, he jumped above the square. You've got that square above the rim.
Yeah.
So he's up 11 and a half feet tall. And not only did he not block it with one hand like you see big guys do, he just grabbed it. He just grabbed it and turned around and started going the other way.
Yeah.
I just think the guy is, I mean, he's must-see TV.
You know, the one play I did see live, with Ja that was amazing was he had a dunk where he almost hit his head on the rim back down.
He had to duck his head.
He had to duck his head. He gets so up.
I've never seen that either. A guy so high that he has to duck his head to get it under the rim.
Yeah. No, and he's special. He's something amazing.
And he's
amazing.
Only 6'3". You know, Michael Jordan was 6'6", and he jumped like this early in his career. But Ja's 6'3", so he's jumping as high or higher than Jordan did. So his whole game's above the rim. He's averaging 25 a game, Mace, and most of his points are in the paint. He's just an unbelievable player.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. All right, let's get back to phones. People are fired up today.
Well, I mean, think about it. May have been, and I know you said that you might be guilty of recency bias. I've been watching NFL my whole life. May have been the greatest regular season day of NFL games ever.
It was crazy. That's the best Rams game I've been at since Chiefs-Rams, which was just a crazy, never-to-be-matched game. But, I mean, in terms of just a football game with huge swings of momentum, it didn't go our way, and I thought we choked it away. But just as a football game, I thought that was an amazing football game to be at.
All right, let's go to Don in Chatsworth on line 9. Hey, Don, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Don.
Okay, I don't understand the Ram game where Cooper Kupp takes the lead and there's about 2 minutes left. Why Sean McVay don't kick an onside kick? If you get the ball, you run the clock out. If you don't get the ball, they score and you have time to score the last time.
No way.
Yeah, but Don, why would you give the Niners? The Niners had been running all over you in the second half. Why would you give them field position at like the 50?
Because that way, when they score, you have time to have the ball at the end.
See, I don't think you anticipate them scoring.
Their defense, the series before the Niners scored the game-tying TD, the Rams stopped them.
I would say I wouldn't have run it 3 times. I would have tried to get a first down at that point and put the Niners away. But no, I wouldn't have onsides kicked.
Mace, thanks, Don, for the phone call. You've been beating this drum that you said you would have tried to go harder for a first down and
go for a first down, right? One first down and you end the game.
I was just thinking about something. This is a very easy question to answer. Who's been the best player on the Rams this year? Just this year?
It's probably. It's either Cooper Kupp or Aaron Donald.
No, it's Cooper Kupp. I mean, Aaron Donald's great every year, but Cooper Kupp's had a year for the ages.
Yeah.
By electing to run 3 times in a row, you never gave Cooper Kupp a chance to win the game for you.
Right.
You know, he got you the touchdown to put you ahead with an unbelievable play.
Even if you're going to run, how about a little jet sweep to Cooper Kupp or a little jet sweep to OBJ? Throw him something you got a chance to break open for a first down instead of just running 3 times into the line, which is what they did.
Yeah, just to run clock. Let's go to Steve in Palm Springs on line 10. Hey, Steve, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Steve.
Good, good. Hey, Mace, I disagree with you on one thing, and maybe you guys could check into it, about the NFL playoffs there with the Rams.
Yep.
If they win, they got to go to Green Bay.
Well, it depends.
They reseed after the wild card round.
I don't believe they do.
Well, okay, so I'm looking at an NFL bracket. So if you're right, Steve, in Chatsworth, in Palm Springs, the NFL bracket says – the Packers play the winner of the Bucks and the Eagles. So if they don't. And what Mason is arguing, and I think Mason's right, is that if the Bucks win, they don't have to play the Packers in the second round. The Bucks, they would reseed, and the Packers get to play the lowest remaining seed, which at that point would be the Niners, who are the 6. So the Niners would go to the Packers, and the Bucks would play the Rams, right?
Yeah, they reseed after the wild card round. That's the confusing part. I actually screwed it up on Twitter earlier, but they do reseed after the wild card round.
Yeah, I haven't heard that anywhere, though, on ESPN, on the television, or anything like that, that they do reseed. I thought those are like...
Yeah, they don't want... Yeah. Steve, they don't want the one and the two seed to play until they have to. So the two best seeds in the NFC this year are the Packers and the Bucks. So that's why they would have, they wouldn't make them play in the second round. But I.
So then you're saying the 49ers beat the Cowboys.
They go to Green Bay.
Go up there to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mace, I do agree with you. The whole game yesterday was determined just before halftime.
Yeah, that field goal just busted.
Third and one.
Whoa, hey, mate, the third
the
one.
The third
yeah.
and one. Yeah, hit Steve, that point. The
okay,
third and
so
one we threw.
Steven Palm Springs, you just brought up something that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman really hammered yesterday. That it was third and one. The Rams were trying to end the half.
Yep.
There's about a minute to go. And not only did they pass on third and one, but they ran out of a formation that didn't even have a running back in the backfield. So the Niners knew they were going to pass. And they sacked Stafford, and they got the ball back and kicked that field goal, Mace, that you've been talking about. So you're right, Steve. It did probably set the whole tone for the second half.
And throwing things at the TV, I just said that cannot happen.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Keep the ball on the ground, get that first down, and maintain control, and don't let them come back and get that field goal, which gave them momentum into the second half where they had the ball first.
Thanks for the phone
thanks,
call.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah, God, there's so many what ifs. So
by the way,
many.
I think we have that right on the Niners Packers, do we?
Yeah.
We do.
They've
okay.
always receded in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm
so
just making
Packers,
sure we're right.
The Packers are the one seed, which means after this weekend's games, the Packers play the lowest seed remaining, which, if I'm right, will be the Niners.
Yes.
And so it'll be Packers.
They would play the six, which
Niners,
is 49ers,
and it would be
yeah.
Bucks Rams in Tampa.
Now, if the Bucks and Cowboys both win, we have to go to Green Bay.
Correct.
So we're rooting. We're in the odd position as Rams fans of rooting for the Niners because I'd much rather go to Tampa and play than go to Green Bay and play.
Right.
Although I'd say it's kind of Sophie's choice, right? I mean, you got
to
be.
Tom well, you might
Brady
have to do both.
Tampa. Yeah.
You might have to do both. Oh, by the way, tonight is the college football national championship.
Yes.
Give me $10,000 on Alabama.
Okay. There you have it.
Georgia is favored. I don't buy it. I'll take Nick Saban.
I would agree with you if I cared.
You just don't. You're not even going to watch it.
No. Nah. I mean, here's the thing for college football that I think is dangerous. It's become such a regional sport. It's like it's basically two Southeastern teams playing every single year for the championship. And it's gotten, for me, it's gotten dull. I mean, you've got to have other regions of the country involved in this thing or it just gets boring.
Well, they were involved. They just didn't advance. You know, Cincinnati lost and got their doors blown off. And then who did?
Michigan lost.
Yeah, Michigan lost. I mean, there were the other teams had a chance. And by the way, now that Lincoln Riley's at USC, they'll get back in it. Did you see what happened today at USC?
Yeah, that's a good sign.
Okay, so Jackson Dart entered the transfer portal. You know, Keaton Slovis already did.
Yep.
So that means somebody has told Jackson Dart
Caleb Williams is coming.
Yep. And Caleb Williams is probably the best player to ever enter the transfer portal. You know.
And has a relationship with Lincoln Riley. He's played for Lincoln Riley. I mean, Caleb Williams is going to be a stud for USC.
Right.
Just a stud. All right, coming back, more of your phone calls. 877-710-ESPN. Gigantic weekend of NFL football. Really fun beginning to end. Yesterday, unbelievable day. The Rams will play Arizona 1 week from tonight at SoFi Stadium in their first round, their wild card playoff game. So the Rams do get a home game despite yesterday's loss. Chargers out, Raiders in. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.